We learned this week that Chinese real estate prices fell in almost every city surveyed by the National Bureau of Statistics, a big concern in the U.S. because China is the world's second largest economy, and there are fears its housing bubble could burst. Add to that China's anti-corruption campaign, which could affect the real estate market as well. Chinese media report that authorities have detained four city customs officials, including one who had nearly $2 million in cash stashed away in his home and owned six properties. For more, we turn to NPR's Frank Langfitt in Shanghai. Frank, hello.
Hi, Jeremy.
So a city official owning six pieces of real estate, is that a surprise?
No, actually, you know, that is modest compared to earlier corruption cases here. You know, stories of officials who are essentially giant landlords are legion in China. Last year, there was a political leader who was caught in Inner Mongolia. He had 33 properties in China and a house in Canada. And so, frankly, Chinese are quite used to officials owning all kinds of property that there's no way their public salaries could support.
And this anti-corruption campaign has been going on now for more than a year. What kind of an impact is it having?
Well, it's the fiercest anti-corruption campaign I've ever seen, and I think in modern memory. And what it's doing to officials, it's a lot of people, it's scaring them to death. And on the property side, you see a lot of officials are trying to dump their extra houses. They're really worried about ending up in jail. And since 2012, there's this report by the Communist Party Disciplinary Committee, and they found officials and the heads of state-owned companies were dumping apartments in 45 cities. Now, at the time this came out, it was about 4,800 apartments in the city of Guangzhou in the far south, and then about 4,700 here in Shanghai. And the report found that most owners use fake names on deeds, or they'll use the ID cards of their family members to make the purchases. They'll rent to friends and relatives, and there aren't any contracts. And all the transactions are in cash, so they avoid bank records. And the idea also is when they're selling like they are now, they'll usually try to have attorneys do the deals to avoid too much attention.
Well, and when we hear about prices falling in 64 of the 70 cities measured by the National Bureau of Statistics last month, and then you hear about this, you wonder what this kind of property dumping is doing to real estate prices.
Well, you know, I would caution about reading too much into that. I mean, the officials dumping property, everybody knows about it, and it's a sexy story. But the market here is enormous, the property market. Something in the neighborhood of 70% of Chinese own their homes, which is more than the states. And so certainly, though, we do have a lot of anecdotal examples of officials dumping property and at least some price reductions. So recently, the Wall Street Journal had a piece out. They're talking to a real estate agent, and he was talking about an official who had offered his apartment in downtown Beijing for a discount of like $325,000. This is a $3.7 million apartment. Of course, you know, the problems in China's real estate sector are just a lot deeper than these officials who are trying to avoid going to jail. The market was created back in the late 1990s, and the government basically sold all of this state housing to people. It was this enormous wealth transfer. And since then, it's been going up, year after year, and sometimes, you know, tremendous gains for people. But this year, finally, what we've seen is prices and sales have really begun to fall.
Well, and what is driving that? What is behind that decline?
Well, you know, it's the usual stuff, Jeremy, just like we saw in the States when you go back to 2006, 7, and 8. Prices were too high. There's been this glut of overbuilding. And in China, in some cities, there's simply not enough demand. Shanghai and Beijing, certainly, the property market's still strong here, pretty strong. People want to live in these cities. But when you go to the second and third tier cities, there's just not enough people to buy them. I'll give you an example. Wuxi is about an hour's bullet train ride from here in Jiangsu province, right next door. I was there this summer, and prices there so far, and this was maybe, I guess this was June, they had already dropped 15 to 20% this year.
Well, and then you see stories like we saw on 60 Minutes earlier this year. There was a story about these ghost cities that have been built, lots of condo buildings, and there's nobody in them. Is that what you're seeing in Wuxi is just empty buildings?
In some parts of Wuxi, definitely. I'll give you an example. I was driving in from the train station at night, and there are these 25, 30-story buildings and maybe five apartments are lit in each one. And the problem in a place like Wuxi is the apartments are just, they're too expensive. An apartment may be nearly 1,000 square feet is going to cost you maybe $116,000. Well, the average annual salary in a place like Wuxi is just $80 to $100. So paying off that mortgage is going to take a really long time. And the other thing is, you look at the luxury, the high end of the market in parts of China, especially a place like Wuxi, it's pretty much a mess. I was walking through this complex. They had these $750,000 sort of ornate stone-carved facade villas. It had been open a year, and all of them were still empty. And then across the street, they're building another complex, and the cranes are still going.
Well, how did that happen? Why are the markets, the housing markets in places like Wuxi, becoming so overbuilt?
In the past, you know, and less so now probably, the central government would rate local officials on GDP. So they would be pushing construction of new districts, and that would boost GDP numbers. But the problem is people couldn't actually buy the homes.
Well, so Frank, if you look at what's happening now, it does appear that whatever government effort to cool the housing market off, maybe make this bubble not so much of a bubble, is working to some degree. Is this what officials are hoping for, that it starts to cool off like this?
Absolutely. I think that what you're seeing here, it's not a crash. People who follow this very closely don't think it's a crash. They see it as a way to bring prices down and bring the real estate market in, ideally from the government's perspective, to a soft landing. Their great fear, of course, is that people lose confidence and stay out of the market, and prices, as we once saw before in the United States, prices just keep falling because the demand isn't there, the confidence isn't there. So far, we're not in that place in China. But that, of course, is what the government's most concerned about.
Well, and if that were to happen, what would that mean for the United States?
Well, most people don't think the government here is ever going to let that happen because so much of the Chinese economy is caught up in real estate. If it were to happen, it would be a mess here because there would be a tremendous loss of wealth. People psychologically have based so much of their sense of themselves, frankly, on their land wealth. It would be really bad for the global economy because China, even though growth has been slowing here in recent years, growth is still in the 7%+ range, which is great by any standard. And so I think that the impact globally, it would rattle markets, and it could affect certainly Chinese demand for products, as well as Chinese investment overseas, which we're seeing more and more, and that's helping to push economies in the West.
In fact, a lot of cities in the United States are starting to see a lot of Chinese investors come in to their real estate markets. NPR's Frank Langfitt joining us from Shanghai. Frank, thanks so much.
Happy to do it, Jeremy.
And in another sign of China's clout, the world's largest cruise companies are setting sail and basing some of their ships there. Carnival, the number one cruise company, is sending its fourth ship there next spring to keep up with rising demand. Royal Caribbean, the second largest cruise company, has set its sights on Shanghai for its newest liner, Quantum of the Seas. The ship will spend the winter traveling between New York and the Caribbean before it moves to China next summer. Now, cruise operators traditionally send older ships to developing markets. The newest vessel typically make their homes in the U.S. and Europe, but now it appears China's growing middle class cannot be ignored, although we should say there are worries that most of the would-be customers in China may be younger people who are working and might not have free time to take a cruise.